Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Living in the power of God's renewing spirit enables us to be centered during uncentering times, to take control of what it is we can have control during wild times. Who you are, whose you are, and why you are. You have control over answering those questions. And as you answer those questions, it determines your gravity, your point of center, of how to be centered in these times in which we live. From May 31 through the Christmas season, we walk through the book of Acts into the Gospel of Luke. We walk from hand in hand with the early Christians who were empowered by the resurrected Jesus Christ in doing what had not been done before, and the church was created. And then during the Christmas season, we open the Gospels to Luke and also to Matthew to hear the story of how it began, of the Messiah coming into the world. Now, the writer of the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts is the same person. He lived in the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. He was Greek, meaning he was a Gentile, and he was someone who had studied the science of the day, and as a physician and a historian, he was curious about who God was in the times in which he was living. And if you're curious, then who would not be curious in these days in which we live of who God is and how God can be a part of your life in these times in which we are living? Luke found his answer then in a living relationship with the creator of the heaven and the universe. And how this living relationship became through the Messiah, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that through Christ, then one can be in a living relationship to be centered in the power of God's renewing spirit each and every day. The promise of God then is revealed to us and by his presence. World War II was a time in which people across the world were wondering how to be centered in these uncentering times. Sam Briskman was a Jew who was captured and taken to Auschwitz, a concentration camp that ultimately 1.1 million people would die at the hands of the evil desires of Hitler. But while there, he was able to keep a prayer book, which in itself was a miracle. Later in life, Sam Briskman not only would survive Auschwitz, but would live decades more, would come from New York City to San Antonio, would live in downtown of our city, and Ernie and Francis Jones of our church became friends of his as Ernie managed the Granada Home Apartments where Sam had come to live. Approaching his death, and Sam gave a gift of his prayer book from Auschwitz to Ernie, and a prayer book by which he had picked up once he got to New York City that he would pray then. And these are those two volumes. To hold them is to feel the touch of sacredness of a man who is living in the midst of the most hellish experiences on earth, coming into a presence of God, humbled before him, the same camp when Anne Frank would be, or Viktor Frankl, or Elie Wiesel, where there only be a few survivors, and 1.1 million people would die, and Sam Briskman would be among them. You can imagine how he prayed. How he prayed, being centered during uncentered times of an uncentered world. God comes to you. Exactly in the Messiah for all of humanity, the Messiah for all of the Hebrew scriptures, the Messiah into the New Testament, the Messiah of our times. He is the Messiah for always and for all people. And so as we step into the story that Steve Lee read for us, is a story that boldly just pops off the page in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4. The fanfare of Will and Dean coming from the choir loft was a fanfare to announce the good news of the Lord has arrived, as CBAC then connected that into our worship experience. It is this good news of being centered that Debbie highlighted, that we have to be plugged into this a living power, a power beyond ourselves, in order for us not to lose power. And as Vicki led us in our prayer, his sense of our knowing that we have a story and that the story of Christ becomes our story. We have a story for every day of 2021 and beyond. You notice that when Major Lee, upon closing the reading of our scriptures, he said the word of God for the people of God. And we said, thanks be to God. At home, I trust that you said, thanks be to God. On Facebook Live, I trust that wherever you are, you said, and thanks be to God, that this is a word from God, and God has a word for our lives, for these times in which we live. But they're not magic dust. They're not just kind of sprinkled over the environment, the circumstances. But they are the sense of a living relationship for us to take his promise and power in our life. Many of our national leaders will close their message. At the end of their message, they will say, and God bless America. And I pray it is so each time I hear it spoken by our elected officials, that we truly will be humbled into God's presence. And in our humility, that we then will be shaped by the character of God to be the people of God, to help then our nation to rise, to fulfill the promise. And we are living in difficult times. But it's exactly in these times when Americans have risen to be at our best. But it's exactly in these times, particularly when Christians in the life of the church and the movement of God have helped America to rise to be at our best. But it's got to be a power beyond our own political biases. It's got to be a power and a unity of this one God who then enables us to get on bended knee and humbly to pray. And when we arise from our prayer, we are able to speak the language of love in God's power. That we are able to hear in the language of love with our ears, even those who call us enemies. The world is watching, and the world needs this witness of our being at our best, made possible by him. This is a flag that I keep next to my desk, just off to my side. It had once flown over the United States Capitol where Wednesday's crisis occurred. And having been flown, then it was given as a gift to my father, to a friend of his who was a veteran, and as a gift given to a friend during living through own difficult personal times that gave him encouragement of how to be faithful and true during his trials. And after my father died and then this friend died, and the children of our friend asked if I would like to have the flag back, and I received it as a gift of shared values. Knowing that this flag is more than simply cloth, it is the sign of symbols that have power. But the symbols only have power when we actually live the power through our lives. Now magnify that to the level of the Christ. And that when we say that the word of God for the people of God, and our response is thanks be to God, it's not magic dust in worship, but it is the sense of the centrality that indeed this word has power, that we can know who we are and whose we are and why we are. So first, who are you? Who you are, knowing your identity in light of God, is to know your truest self. There are a lot of people who will try to define you for yourself. But don't let anybody else write the script for your life. You're the main player in your life story, and so play your part in your true identity. And so when Jesus came to say, come and follow me and I will make you, he was saying that I will reveal to you, I will be in a relationship with you, I will work with the power of the kingdom of heaven to lay your life on earth to you be at your very best because you can know who you are in light of me. To the early Christians, the Apostle Paul would say, therefore anyone in Christ is a new creation, where the old baggage and the old stuff is passed away, and behold, all things become new, and here is your identity, Paul would go on to say in those very verses of 2 Corinthians 5, that you are made in the identity to be an ambassador of reconciliation. an ambassador of reconciliation and the story of the cross, and that is the bridge by which then the gospel of Jesus Christ made its way across the Roman Empire into our world today. It overcame every obstacle, moved through each difficulty, and the power of this Christ to know who you are in light of him. When you look in the mirror in the morning, as I have to do in order to shave, I find it's kind of risky to use a hand razor and not look in the mirror. And when I do find myself asking, who are you today? I said, Lord, help me be yours today. Help me to be centered in you today. Not my own ego stuff, not my own fears, not my own comfort zone preferences. But Lord, help me to be you at work within my life today. An early Christian by the name of Athanasius put it this way. He, meaning Jesus, became like we are in order that he might make us like he is. He, being Jesus, came that he might be like we are so that he could make us like he is. That is this work. That's the promise. And so when we find our way, our identity, who we are in light of Christ, the light of God shining upon us, then we can see more clearly. Now, the Gospel of Luke makes it clear of how this unfolds. We know the story narrative. We've celebrated that in the Christmas season. We've experienced the manger scene and the shepherds. And then we find that Jesus was led by the Spirit to the Jordan River to be baptized as a way of showing the world that the Messiah ministry had begun. He then was 30 years old. It was 30 years after the Bethlehem experience. He had lived for 30 years in Nazareth. And then when he was baptized, heard the voice of heaven saying to him, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Father Creator speaking to the oneness of who Christ is. And then the Spirit of God descended upon him. Where would the Spirit take this Jesus? His identity as the Messiah in the world. It would take him into the desert, to the wilderness, where you know the story, as many of you do, that for 40 days he was tempted. Tempted by the evil one. And while he was in the wilderness and he was going through the temptation, he responded to each temptation by the power of the living God. His true identity as the Son of God, being tested by the humanity of Jesus of Nazareth. One person, but in containing this character of the blending of heaven and earth within him. And to the devil that he said, no. And he quoted scripture, this word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. And the power leaped off of the scripture from the tongue of Jesus into the face of the evil one. And the temptation was overcome. And then the angels came and ministered to him. And then what would happen? Well, Jesus left from the Judean desert, crossed again the Jordan River. He went back to his home region, the northern part of Israel that's called Galilee. And you see then this hillside in Nazareth right now. That when you go there, then you're on top of a 1,000-foot elevation, being able to look at the most fertile farming region in all of Israel. And the people in Nazareth had heard that Jesus had already begun to do some miracles. This Jesus, the son of Joseph, whom they would call him, he had done some miracles there. And now he was walking back. He was coming back home. And they had high expectations of what he would do for them. But you'll notice that the foot of this photograph is also a plaque that you'll find when you go there today. And the plaque says, at this precipice. It gives some history of it. And it gives the story about the end of what Steve read for us in our scripture. Of how it is by the end of the story of Jesus returning home, they took him to the precipice in order to throw him over a 1,000-foot drop. But Jesus, with an authority, walked back through their midst. This is a living location. It is a living history. It is a living truth. And there are people who will try to take us to the precipice of destruction. But the Lord says, no, live. Live in the power of my renewing spirit. Are you doing that? In Luke 4:14, in this long narrative that ends with a brisk pace to it, Jesus returning to Galilee. And you notice how it is described that he is in the power of the Spirit. God is so wonderful, so magnificent that one name cannot describe all of God. So he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think that reminds me of the name of, Trinity. Trinity Baptist Church. That we ourselves are an embodiment in our very name of this meaning. And that news was spreading about this Jesus to arrive, to rise on the scene, the sense of the freedom which is there. I recall, Gay, when we were at the precipice, we were at Nazareth, we were on the edge. You and our friend Tanya went to there and you raised your arms like in praise. You were raised up. I was hoping that we weren't going to have to rise you from the dead if you fell off the side. But it was just an immediate response, an automatic response about being on location of what it is that God can do. And so he returned. He wanted to go face to face with his hometown and to say, now, you need to know, if you haven't already known, who I really am and what I'm about. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. Yeah. We can be inspired by people who have done things which we haven't done. I am and you are. And those are people who have actually accomplished something. They're not simply celebrities upon the media who haven't really done anything. But people who have actually accomplished something with their life. One of those was a Tommy Lasorda who just passed away a few days ago. When he was a manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, this Major League Baseball team, at that time, San Antonio had the missions, and we had a farm league team that the younger Dodgers would come and play, and he would come in to the stadium here in San Antonio and watch about the future of the Dodgers and scouting out who could make it in the big leagues. Well, Tommy Cude from our church was there, and he was there with his then 7-year-old daughter, Christy. And when he looked in the stands, he immediately recognized Lasorda, and he sent his daughter, Christy, with a baseball, and he says, now, go ask him to sign this. And so she did. And when she did, Tommy Lasorda smiled, and he signed it. She took it back with great excitement to her dad, said, I did it. He signed it. Who is he, Daddy? And Lasorda, who later would be a Hall of Famer, Lasorda, who would then lead as the manager, a World Series champion, and hearing the 7-year-old say that, just began to laugh and laugh and laugh. You know, always keeping humble about whatever else we've accomplished in life, keeping things into a perspective. But knowing your identity, and there in the baseball, the name begins to fade, but the story lives on. There are people living on this earth now who need your autograph of your influence in their life. And if you don't know who you are, you can't be that person who they need for you to be. Because it's only with the kind of authority by coming of knowing who you are, not for your own ego's sake, but for the Christ working through you, that they can discover who then they truly are within their lives. And this is how Jesus gets at this. Secondly, he said, whose you are. To know who you are and then whose you are. Relationships is then knowing to whom you belong keeps you centered wherever you are. See, if we're not sure who we are in light of God, then someone else will try to re-identify us. Identity theft, you'd call it. Identity theft, losing our sense of self and our sense of place. But when we know whose we are, that we actually belong to that, the one who has made us in his image and empowered us, then we get it. So in Luke, he said. Now, when he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went on the customary day, Sabbath day, he went to the synagogue and he worshiped. We're here in this remarkable capacity to be together in so many ways. We're here in person, thanks be to God. We're here by virtual experiences, but being in the room together by live streaming. And we are here worshiping because we need to know whose we are. Every moment of our life, and then we are renewed in that power because we have worshiped. Jesus worshiped. And in his worshiping, he was giving a scroll. He was given the Hebrew scroll. Jesus, who could speak Aramaic and Hebrew, he took that scroll and he chose the passage he wanted to read. And then he stood up and he read the passage. Now, Nazareth is a place where we have kinship. There's a kinship of a message like Azar, who leads the Nazareth Evangelical College there, is a friend of ours, and recently he gave us a Christmas message that some of you heard on Christmas Eve, but it's only a minute in length, and I want you to hear it again. This is a living voice given just a few weeks ago, less than a month ago, in order for us to hear a voice of Nazareth directly into the heart of Trinity Baptist Church. Hear this man, a follower of Christ. Hear this man who understands the Arab heritage of the Israelis living in Israel today, who knows the Jewish heritage of people living in Nazareth today, and who then is a living force of the Christian power as a Christian Israeli living in Nazareth today. Here's what he has to say to you, to us.
Dear brothers and sisters at Trinity Baptist Church, warm greetings from Nazareth, the hometown of Jesus. My name is Azar Ajar. I am the president of Nazareth Evangelical College. In this short message, I want to thank you all and thank the church for your love, prayers, and support for our ministry. You have been a great blessing for the college and the ministry in the college, and a great help in fulfilling our call to equip, train, and raise leaders, men and women, in this part of the world. And I pray that our friendship continues also in the future. And especially at this season, of course, I would like to wish you all and your families a Merry Christmas and a blessed and happy New Year. May God bless you all.
A message from a brother who has been with us on our campus, speaking from this hometown of Jesus, that Jesus would always claim his identity with those roots because the name of Nazareth meant the shoot of Jesse, the heritage of from where the Messiah would come. Do you remember what Pilate wanted to write above Jesus when he crucified him on the cross? It looks to us in English like I-N-R-I, but it was written as though Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews in Latin. That Jesus of Nazareth is how he was known in his teaching ministry. And that he was king, but he was king for all people. He was king for everyone, and that takes us to the why of our lives. To know who we are and whose we are, and then to know why we are. We have a mission in our life. Our mission is absolutely to live our passion, but to let your passions be shaped from God. David would write from his own mistakes, delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. If we're not delighting in the Lord, our passions will take us into adultery with Bathsheba, the murder of Uriah. It will try to make the kingdom in our own image. Sin, sin, sin. But if we take our passions, said Lord, shape your passions and your will within my heart that I can live passionately in this world, the Lord says, then you have asked the prayer I've wanted you to pray, and I can release you with your talents. I can release you on the great adventure of living your life. Living your purpose reveals your identity. Now, this is how Jesus puts it into practical language. In Luke 4, 18 through 19, he says, now this is what I want you to know. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's living, the resurrection presence of Christ with us now, that the power of the Christ who brings into you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the whole fruit of the Spirit is at work in your life. The Spirit of the Lord is with you. Now, as he opened the book in Isaiah 61, he said, now this is where it is. This is good news. That would become the word for gospel, right? That would become the word of the work of the Christian movement and become the good news story. That Jesus is then opening up the book and said, this has been inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is good news for everyone. And therefore, everyone has a year of the Lord to be proclaimed. But what did he put in the midst of there? He included in that story, as he would explain a few verses later, he would include in that story, this is not just about you, hometown Nazareth. This is not just about you, of people who sound like you, look like you. It includes you. But you need to have your hearts to understand it includes all who are willing to come to the presence of God. Now, the people of Nazareth were really curious because they'd heard Jesus was already doing good things early in his ministry, and he would come and kind of work his miracle show there in their midst. I mean, that's what they wanted. But instead he said, you need to know that any miracle only comes as we align ourselves with the truth. Being centered in uncentered times, meaning we are aligned in the centering force of God that gives us the miracle to be centered so we can do the work of God. If we're aligned to anxiety, we're only going to be anxious. If we're aligned with worry, then we're going to be controlled by those who can give us easy answers. If we're aligned to our prejudices, we're not going to see beyond our own biases. But if we're aligned to the Christ who constantly stretches us and shows us the richer, deeper, broader, abundant life, then we are set free, even in the midst of criticism. But let your criticism come out of your faith in Christ. And how do we know that? Well, let your light shine before people that they will see your good works and give glory to the Father, that they're seeing the Father through you. Now, in this Isaiah 61, and this is how we can apply what it means to be living in the power of God's renewing spirit. When people are in need, show compassion. There are times that God's miraculous work will break through and be able to provide immediate healing in our lives. It's happened some in our midst. But it always is preceded, and the bottom line is that it only matters most when compassion is shown as the miracle of love to anyone in need. That's the revolution of Jesus. See, there are all kind of biases against this list of Isaiah 61. The people who had those needs were those that were not blessed by God. And Jesus said, that's just not true. And you need to be compassionate with them. He said, matter of fact, this is why I've come. I have come to set free those who are in bondage. I have come to give sight to those who are blind. You're already thinking of stories. You're thinking of the blind man of Jericho. You're thinking of Mary Magdalene who was bound by the demons or the Gadarene demoniac on the cliffs of the east side of Galilee. You're thinking of the stories of how Jesus was able to show them. But you remember when Jesus would say so frequently, if you have eyes to see, then see, ears to hear, then hear. He wasn't speaking about physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. So it is, the prophet Isaiah would say in a way that Paul would pick it up and said that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God can show to those who love him, because the Spirit searches out and shows the deep things of God. See, helping people to really see and hear God's love means they first need to see it in you and hear it from you. And then the Spirit does this amazing work of God. Jesus would say it in another way at the end of his ministry, the passage in Matthew 25 when he said, now, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was lonely, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came and you didn't leave me in isolation. And when I was ill, you brought this word of God. When? Well, when you did it to the least of these, you did this to me. We can do this every day. We don't need to be worrying about how to find the will of God. It's right here. And it comes before us every day. And then the other things by which we pray for God's will, certain decisions in our life, then we know how to make those decisions humbled before God, because we've been conditioned and practiced in the will of God by doing these things. It's kind of a big picture thing, and you know, there's nothing quite like Jesus looking to the cross to see where this was going to lead. And they wanted to do away with Jesus on that day, but it wasn't his time. My prayer for you is that you really live before you die. We're getting vaccines. I've got my vaccine. I pray that when you can get a vaccine, that you get it. We're all looking forward to the day that we can be freer in the movements within our society, but right now is the time for us to be living in this present moment, to be faithful, because what needs to be done won't wait till it's convenient for us, won't wait until it's safe for us. It is needed now from your life. Some of you know the story of when my dad was approaching his death, and we all had our responsibilities as the four children of what to do, and for me, that was part of helping him to get ready for his death, and also to choose our cemetery location. So we chose our plots, created a tombstone, and in thinking that who we have wanted to be as a family, that we agreed on Isaiah 61, a version of this passage, that the spirit of, so if you go to the Holland family tombstone, not that you need to, not that you really desire to, but here's the story. If you go to the tombstone, you will see this. The spirit of the Lord is upon me to comfort all who mourn, that they may become mighty oaks, the plantings of the Lord, that he would be glorified. That when we comfort those who mourn, God's at work. He does the comforting. And then all of a sudden, this need within a person becomes a planting of the Lord, and he can turn that into a mighty oak. The mighty oak then being a symbol of this long, old, big tree in our front yard. Well, is this good news? It was hard for the people of Nazareth to hear it as good news because it wasn't the news that they wanted to hear. It wasn't spoken in the emphasis they wanted to receive. It was God speaking God's message, and we've got to conform to God, and then we find who we are, whose we are, and why we are. So they took Jesus from the synagogue out to the precipice of the hilltop with every intention to throw him over. But Jesus in the clarity of being the Son of God and knowing that it was not his time, he walked through their midst and said, oh, it's true. A prophet is not welcomed in his own hometown. My question for you and my question for you, is he welcomed in your life right now for his call upon you in this year of the Lord?
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.